Welcome to the Bullcast Podcast. This is Katie Pickler, and with me is Court Winsett.
Hello, Katie.
And Cameron Spann.
Good morning.
Okay, so y'all, we are at episode 201. We just celebrated our 200th episode, and so we still got a lot of talking to do.
The day that Katie doesn't have some talking to do, I mean, we're all in trouble.
I say, most people worry when I'm quiet. They're like, what's happened? Katie's not talking. We all need to fear for our lives.
100%. We're in our 200s era.
Mm. We are. So we thought this is actually an episode that physically in our podcast studio has been sitting on the table for a while, and we kept having other stuff pop up that we wanted to do. And so kind of wanted to get into this episode. It'll be really fun. And then looking forward, we're going to get back to the basics, a little bit more technical. But to start off with our 200th era, then we are going to do financial planning for empty nesters.
Bingo!
Raise your hand if you're an empty nester in this room.
That's me.
One hand.
Yeah. I see.
100%.
I was like, you're the empty nester. Yes. You're the full nester.
Full nest.
And I guess I don't have a nest yet.
Nest. You're an empty nester.
I'm an empty nester.
But the reverse.
Reverse.
Yeah. You're a potential nester.
Here we go. Okay. So our list is going to be top party schools in America.
Why? Yes.
Why?
Huh?
Well, but
what?
Like,
we want to tell
why.
Our audience.
Like,
why?
Our logic is, you become an empty nester because your kids move out of the house. Most often, the kids move out of the house because they're going away to college. Mm-hmm.
But if they go to a top party school, they may not actually become.
They might come back.
Boomerang.
The boomerang kids.
Yeah,
but
indeed.
We'll rapid fire through this list, and then we'll kind of get into empty nesters and kind of what that life looks like for financial planning aspects.
Absolutely. Kick it off, Katie.
Okay. University of California, Santa Barbara.
Never been there.
I was just in Santa Barbara a couple months ago.
No idea. Okay. How about this? Tulane University. That, of course, is located in New Orleans.
I've been there.
Indeed.
Next on the list is home of the Noles, Florida State University, the Seminoles.
Absolutely.
And they have such a good opening to their football games where Chief Osceola comes out on his horse with a flaming staff and he stabs it into the turf.
Oh, wow. Every game?
Every game.
Wow.
He's on a painted horse.
That's awesome.
It's amazing.
I would party for that.
And University of Alabama.
Boo.
Really?
Are Howard University is next.
I did live in Tuscaloosa, and that is a party city. Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
Okay, so after University of Alabama, nobody here likes them. Howard University. And then Cameron?
University of Wisconsin. Ooh. Cheeseheads.
University of Georgia.
University of Georgia. Okay. And University of Southern California, otherwise known as USC. You got to pay a pretty penny to go there and party, but boy, howdy, is it fun.
They have a beautiful campus. Next on the list is University of Illinois.
I tried to go there.
And the last one, this one I thought about going to as well, University of Mississippi or Ole Miss.
Ole Miss.
Just an hour and a half down the road.
Indeed. Yep.
Big party school. My niece currently goes there, and it's a party school.
Shinkity dinkity.
Okay, so those are our top party schools as we dive into this empty nester episode. Mm-hmm. So financial matters for young adults.
Okay.
Tell us about it, Court.
Why am I going to tell you about young adults?
I am the
oldest adult here.
Okay, let's paint the scene. So we're talking about empty nesters, financial planning. So you've got two components here. You've got the kids who are now, they're on their own. Mm-hmm. So we've got that aspect of it. And now we've got the parents that have these kids potentially off the payroll.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that look? So when we're looking at financial matters for young adults, you got the kiddie tax and the health care coverage to think about. So kiddie tax, it always sounds
weird
to me.
My version of kiddie tax is when my kids get fries or candy and they give me of them. And I've trained them well. The other day we got some fast food and Tripp said, Dad, would you like your tax? I said, yes, I would.
This is a real thing. And, you know, this is something that applies to full-time students age 23 and younger. So obviously, if your child is above this, there's no longer a student, you're not going to get the advantage of this kiddie tax. Healthcare coverage is also something that college students under 26 can be included on parents' healthcare coverage.
Yes.
But your kid's out of college, your kid's past that age.
I know this because I just had one roll off, but you can actually keep your kids even out of college on your health insurance until they turn 26. But boy, howdy, the day they turn 26, At the end of that month, they are no longer allowed on your insurance anymore. They have to find their own coverage. So
it's not 18 when you become an adult. It's 26 when it's like, happy birthday. Yeah. You get to deal with your own health care.
Indeed, yes. I was highly stressed about it with my child that was rolling off until I found out that she had arranged for coverage of her own. So it was going to be okay.
Look at her.
Yeah,
good job.
Look at her adulting. It's
okay.
Crazy.
So then on a financial planning aspect for you as an empty nester, mm-hmm. you now... Maybe
it
you're getting
made
a...
no difference whatsoever because we have family coverage. So usually your insurance coverages go like this. You've got either single coverage or some insurance plans offer a coverage for a couple. You can pay extra for a couple. But more often than not, what I've seen in my life anyway, is you either have single coverage or you have family coverage. And you pay for family coverage, it's more expensive. A lot of times employers don't cover that extra premium for family. They'll cover maybe a portion or all of single coverage, but they won't cover family coverage. And so you're paying that out of your pocket, but it covers your whole family, regardless of how many kids you have. So like when my oldest rolled off of our coverage, it didn't change our price because we're still just paying for family coverage. But still, two more to go.
Do you still file your kids as dependents? I'm curious when kids no longer are dependents. Is it when they're out of the house or when they're off and have their own job?
For the most part, it's when they're...
It depends.
Sorry, this is off topic, but I am curious.
This is part of it. A lot of it goes with their income.
Technically, you could potentially not claim a child as a dependent when they turn 18. If they turn 18 and move out of your house and are self-sustaining, then you can't claim them as a dependent anymore. But I think a lot more often people probably stop claiming their kid as a dependent once the kid finishes college. A lot of kids go away to college, and then when they're done with the semester, they come back home and they're still, you know, you're paying for their college or you're paying for their expenses, you know, you're taking out loans or whatever, and they're coming home in the summer and they may be working, but they're still living under your roof and so forth. And so you still are claiming them as a dependent. But then when they graduate college, they actually move out and get their own job and they're supporting themselves and you're not covering anything anymore.
That makes sense because the day I graduated college, we're in different times now, I understand, but the day I graduated, I got married and that was the day I was off my parents' phone bill. I was no longer filed as a dependent under them, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Big ticket items that I'm not sure kids think about today that parents cover when you're still on your parents' dime, things like, and not all parents do this for all or any of their kids, but things that parents often cover that kids don't think about is obviously health insurance. We've already discussed that. Car insurance, car gas.
Yep.
Sometimes parents pay for your fuel. And if they're paying for your fuel, consider yourself lucky because, dang, fuel is expensive. Cell phones, you mentioned that. That's a big one. And if you move out and are on your own, then all of a sudden, all of these expenses are yours. And you know, these days, there's things like streaming services.
Subscription.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like all of that stuff, if you're on your own and you're doing it yourself, then that means all of that stuff is not being paid for by your parents anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then also, because we kind of mentioned it, the dependent child, if a dependent child is being claimed under the qualifying relative rules, the child's gross income must be less than $5,050 for 2024.
Okay.
And then, you know, going running back over to the kiddie tax thing. That used to be for under children under 14, and Congress increased the age limit to make it harder for parents and grandparents to reduce taxes by shifting income around.
Mm.
And so that's kind of one of those that with investment income, things like that. So that's a very technical thing that I'm not going to spend this whole episode going down, but that is something that is going to be in the equation when kids are getting older. So yay, they're getting off your payroll, they're getting out of the house, but sometimes there's some benefits to having the kids' independence.
Mm.
Let's move on to the next section, UTMA, or we call them UTMA accounts, and legal status. So an UTMA account, the age determination varies by state. What this is it's a Uniform Trust Minor account.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people just call it UTMAs, or you may even heard like UGMAs.
UGMA is the old version.
The old version,
UTMA
yeah.
UTMA is the newer version. And so basically it's
an account that you can have for a child, and most states grant it for, you know, up until they're 18, that then they now have the access to these funds.
Mm-hmm.
So
when they turn 18,
it's money.
It's basically a transfer to minors. You can create an account for your kid, an UTMA account for your kid, where you still are overseeing the account while they're under 18, but you can transfer into that account without any worry about gift tax and so forth. But the second the kid turns 18,
It's their money.
They have full access to that account. Yeah.
Yeah. So they are in control of it. So, you know, Cam, if you were putting money aside for Stella and then all of a sudden Stella turns 18, then you have no more say over if you wanted that to be her wedding fund and she decides to go spend it on a beach vacation with a boy.
I'm scared.
And there's, again, that's a whole nother one we can get on a rabbit hole, but we're just kind of doing the highlights for this. Part-time work and Roth IRAs. So one of the biggest things that I talk to a lot of people about, young, old, every age, Roth IRAs. Mm-hmm. And so if you are working, you can contribute to Roth IRAs. You know, obviously, if you're under the income limit, all of that. But it is a great idea if you've got your students, you know, in college and they're doing a side job or something like that. If they put, you know, a couple bucks a month in their Roth IRA or mm-hmm. builds up some retirement funds. Now, obviously, if you are in the empty nester, then you want to give to your children, hey, you're off on your own. You probably need to come and talk to a financial advisor. You probably need to figure out what you can start doing as you start having income coming in.
One of the things David called us on in our 200th was the fact that we don't frequently alert ourselves to jargon anymore.
Yeah.
And so I want to pause real quick. Just let's give people at least an overview idea of what exactly a Roth IRA
okay.
is.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
So Roth IRA is obviously an individual retirement account.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
but it's a Roth.
It's
What's
a
Roth?
Roth. So what Roth means is it's, are you going to pay taxes now? Or are you going to pay taxes later?
Right.
Very bare bones. So if Cam is our little 25-year-old, just got out of college.
Just a baby.
Just a baby. And he's got his little side job.
Mm-hmm.
Then he can put up to 100% of his earned income. So the amount of money he makes on his paycheck, he can put 100% of that into this retirement account or up to the amount you're able to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
So that we're in the year 2024, Cam could put $7,000. But if he only made $4,000, he can put all of that paycheck in there. Now, how's he going to pay for his beer and his snacks? I don't know.
Snacks.
Snacks.
But the difference between a retirement account that is Roth or traditional is a Roth, you are putting money in and it is going to be growing tax-free.
Because it's post-tax.
Post-tax.
You have earned the money, you have paid your taxes on that money already, and post-tax, you're putting it into a Roth IRA. And so then it grows, and it grows and grows and grows. You don't have to pay taxes on the growth, and you can't take it out until retirement age, because it's still a retirement mm-hmm. account. But when you can take it out, when you take it out, you don't have to pay taxes on it.
Yeah. So most if you see that balance, it says $50,000 in your Roth IRA,
mm-hmm.
that is $50,000 you can spend versus if little 25-year-old Cam put money in a traditional,
mm-hmm.
then he's putting it in pre-tax.
Pre-tax.
So then when he gets to retirement, he's past the threshold, you know, he's allowed to start taking it out. He then would see a balance of $50,000, but every time he pulled from that account, he'd have to deduct taxes.
Yes. A lot of people are familiar with a 401k. So that's a lot of people have a 401k offered by their employer. And of course, that is a usually, unless it is a Roth 401k, most people are contributing to their 401k pre-tax. And so basically the government is saying, yeah, you can put this money away. We won't charge you taxes on this money from your income right now. Put it away, let it grow. But when you get it out later on, when you hit retirement age, you will pay taxes on that money when you withdraw it. Whereas with a Roth, I think David has actually described the Roth as one of the greatest gifts Congress ever gave.
That and the 529 plan, yeah, because it's the only two ways that you can put aside money and have it grow tax-free.
Yeah, and so you put it away. You've paid your taxes on it. You're putting it away. It grows. When you pull it out, you put your money away post-taxes, and so when you pull it out, you don't have to pay any taxes on it. It's cool.
Listen, I'm flattered you're using me as an example, but 25-year-old Cam was not this smart. I did not stow money away like a little squirrel, you know? Fun fact, the Roth IRA is named after a real human being, Senator William Roth, who a couple decades ago led the creation of this unique retirement plan.
Mm.
Very cool.
I never knew if Roth was an acronym, but it is named after a
it's
real...
It's named after a person.
Person. And again, this is another highly technical where it's a good tool for a lot of people in their financial plan, but there's rhyme or reasons to using it. So we'll touch back on that again in our 2000 era basics going
another
back.
Another thing that people often think of when they're dealing with kids leaving home, or maybe often don't think of when kids are leaving home, is the fact that their kids, when they go away to college, they're adults. As far as a lot of universities are concerned, and as far as anybody is concerned, the age of consent is 18. So most kids, when they go away to college, they are 18. And so as far as the law is concerned, they are adults, which means that if you want to do anything on their behalf, if you want to speak to the college, if you want to talk to a hospital, if you want to talk to the, you know, anybody, if there's anything legal or medical that you want to do, these are adults. People cannot necessarily talk to you about these adult things unless you have a power of attorney. So a lot of times, one of the things that I will do is clients will come to me and ask me for a power of attorney for their child who is going away to school. And they'll want some sort of medical power of attorney and or just a general durable power of attorney so that they can talk to the school or so that they can make decisions for the kid for healthcare if something happens to the child when the child is away. I did it for all my kids, obviously, because, you know, they were going all over the country. And I was like, yes, we know. I can still say things for them. And the schools were like, no, you can't. So
this is an aside, but speaking of age of consent, I was recently watching a video of the televised broadcast of the Vietnam draft. Don't ask me why. And my birthday was one of the first ones that they posted. So your boy would have been in Vietnam.
Wow. Again, this is another area that we can go on a deep dive down. But power of attorney is definitely.
I think definitely, we probably hit it before. Yeah. I think we actually talked about it before. But it's, again,
it's really, you know, important.
Empty nester. If your kids are leaving and they're out of the house, that doesn't mean that they necessarily stop needing you entirely. But if they do need your help, if they need your assistance, you may need to have a power of attorney.
Yeah. Like with Cam's situation, you know, he immediately got married. So then, you know, him and his wife became each other's power of attorney. But those that are going off and thriving, and or maybe not thriving, but they're you know, in their careers and maybe not having a significant other at that time, it's a good idea for everyone to have a healthcare power of attorney and a financial power of attorney. So just to have the peace of mind, make sure things are covered, and you can always adjust those documents.
Yeah. Talk to your lawyer.
Okay, so time to kind of switch gears a little bit. Again, this is kind of hitting the highlights of empty nesters. So
no, we haven't even hit the highlight. Listen, people, the things that you can do once your kids are out of the house, those are the highlights.
Those are the highlights.
Court is thriving right
so
now.
So you kind of go through this thing like as you're saving up and then you get to retirement. So this is now with financial planning with empty nesters. You've saved up for college maybe, mm-hmm. and you've, you know, now spent this money on your kids. Or you've been spending all this money on their activities, things like that. So it's been saving and spending for your children. And now at this point, it's kind of time to reevaluate and kind of see, okay, did you use products like a 529 plan?
Yeah.
Which was the education savings account that we previously just talked about, that you could put money aside and have that grow tax-free for educational expenses. Are you using UTMAs that we talked about, that Uniform Trust Minors account that is funds that, hey, yeah, Stella, that's funds that we're putting aside. You do have access to it at 18, but that's the money you need to use to pay for your living expenses, things like that in college. So if you go blow it on concert tickets to Taylor Swift, then you're on your own. You got to get a job. Mm-hmm. So there's so many different funding vehicles that you probably have done ahead of time for this and, you know, managing the expenses, because Court, I'm sure you can attest to this, that you pay for college, you pay for all this stuff, but you still would get phone calls of, hey, I need sorority dues, or I ran out of money this month.
I spent all my monthly allowance on the first day of the month. Now I have no money for food. Well, what did you spend your allowance on? Well, this is a good opportunity. If your kids are still on your payroll, but they're out of the house, but you're supporting them in some way, whether it's paying their tuition or paying for their monthly expenses or whatever, this is a good time for you to let them learn if they haven't already. Some parents are better about teaching their kids about finances early on. And the earlier you can start teaching your kids, the better off they'll be. But if you haven't already, when they go away to school, this is a very good opportunity for you to let them know, okay, look, this is your budget. This is the money we're going to provide you. And if you run out of it, you're done as far as we're concerned. You will have to find some other way to make ends meet, you know, whether it's finding yourself a job or just not spending all your monthly money on the first day on beer or whatever. But it's a good opportunity for them to learn how to live within a budget while they are still, you know, they still have your support. There's still that safety net underneath them, but they also are out on their own, sort of living life in a semi-secure environment. Yeah. And give them that opportunity to learn, okay, I have I mean, it's been a long time since I went to school, so the numbers I'm throwing out are probably really, really kinked. But, you know, I have $300 a month for my expenses. So I have to make sure that that $300 a month is going to last me the entire month. So mm-hmm. I know that I can spend this much on food. I can spend this much on entertainment. It's a good opportunity for them to budget that out.
So, yeah, obviously, if you invest your time in trying to educate your kids on how to spend, then when they do leave the nest, they're no longer at home, then you're not getting those phone calls of, hey, I've run out of money, or I need help, or I need a loan, or things like that. But reality-wise, when somebody tells me, oh, my kid's about to graduate, I'm about to have them out of the house, they're going to be off the payroll, I always kind of burst that bubble a little bit, and I say, let's not jump the gun. Let's make sure we don't completely change, because, you know, we've all seen the movies and stuff where somebody's turned their childhood room into a craft room or a workout room or something like that, like the actual physical part of it. But there are people that will jump to them like, I'm going to start blowing it all. I'm going to start spending this extra money that I was spending on you. And then they kind of get hit because housing market's crazy. They can't afford a house. You know, they have to come back home and kind of save money. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, they're in a great job, but they lose their job. And then parents need to come and help out. And you need to determine what kind of empty nester are you going to be? Are you going to be the one that you always want to allocate in your budget or a pool of money that if your kids ever need it, it's there for them? Or it could turn into your grandkids. And so a lot of times I say it's not that big of a shift in your financial plan. You just then reallocate of what's important to you. But I will say, with kids out of the house, whether they're, you know, 23 or 53, what you do to help your kids, you need to make sure that it's not hurting you. And so as you shift to this empty nester, you're excited, you've got them out of the house. You know, there's suggestions on here about kind of it's a new life cycle. It's a new change. So you reevaluate. Do you kick them off your Netflix? Do you change your subscription?
Well, now you have no choice. Yeah. Once they're living in a different city and they're not under your roof anymore, Netflix is like, yeah, no, they can't use your password. And now apparently Hulu and Disney are doing it too. But anyway.
The home energy assessment is kind of interesting to me. It's like, okay, you know, is your grocery bill going down because you don't have hungry, you know, teenagers, 20-year-olds in there? You know, are you using less water because now instead of five or six people showering in your house, you got two?
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe you're not showering as much anymore if there's kids not around. I don't know. Whatever your habits are.
No, that doesn't happen. Yes. So our energy bill goes down when our kids are gone. Obviously, we're not using as much energy to heat their rooms, and we're not using as much water to wash their clothes, and their TV isn't running 24/7. You know, there are all these things that will make your utilities drop. Your grocery bill obviously drops. Although, I will say this, we don't spend as much on groceries anymore, but we also don't buy a lot of groceries for ourselves, so we spend a lot more eating out than we did when our kids were at home.
You don't want to justify, hey, I'm cooking this big meal, and it's just for the two of us.
Well, not only that, but it was just like...
Convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah, convenient. I'm not asking you to throw your kids under the bus, Court, but you have two that are out of college...
And living on their own, and one that is still in college, but basically lives on her own as well and is about to graduate.
So. But how, and you can choose if you want to do this, examples are real. From yours and Robin's position, like, how has your mindset of your budget changed, or has it really changed since the kids have shifted?
I will only throw myself under the bus here. I will leave all my kids and my wife out of this. I'm kind of the type of person who sort of, when my kids left and all of the kids were out of the house, there was kind of a sigh of relief. And I was like, okay, we don't have to, you know, so I relaxed a little bit, and I probably relaxed a little too much and started spending money a little bit more freely than I had when we still had the kids in the house. And all of a sudden it was like, oh no, we've got this debt that we've got to deal with, because I had gone off budget basically. And so I had to kind of rein my expenditures back in, because it's real easy to go like, oh, we have all this disposable income that we didn't used to have because we're not buying as many groceries and we're not. And so I was like, yeah, if I want that toy that I see online, or if I want that pair of shoes, y'all all know how I like shoes, I would just go ahead and buy them. And then suddenly I would get the bill and be like, oh, I don't have the money to pay for that. It changed my mentality, but I also found that I shouldn't.
It wasn't as big a change as it should have been.
I shouldn't have changed my mentality as much as I did.
Yeah. I mean, it is definitely a switch. You definitely don't have, you know, the massive college bill that you're maybe footing. But obviously, if you've done your pre-planning and you've done the 529 plans, now, I mean, I do want to throw this nugget in there. 529 plans did just change where money that has been in the account for 15 years, then if there's money left over after spending it for college expenses, education expenses, you can then convert up to $35,000 into a Roth IRA in the beneficiary's name. So that's a really cool thing that if you do overfund a 529 plan, you can then start your kids off with a great retirement plan as well.
Now, it's still the same that a 529 beneficiary can be changed.
It can be.
Okay. So if you don't use it all on one child, you could
convert it to the other
beneficiary.
And that's, you've got a lot of options with that. But I think the biggest thing in this episode for us to drive home is obviously, you know, becoming an empty nester, it is a very big deal. I mean, your house is empty. It's just you and your spouse. It's a time for your relationship to kind of be redefined back with your significant other. And it's time to kind of redo your budget a little bit and kind of look at things. But it's not as big of a change as, say, kids going off of daycare, then going into public schools. That's a big change financially. But them getting off the payroll per se isn't as big a change for most people as they think it is. And so, again, as we stress with all these episodes, just kind of readjust your budget, kind of redo your financial plan and kind of see, okay, I don't have as much expenses for my kids, but I need to probably build in an emergency in case they need help with something. What do I need to do now that they're off the payroll and I'm focusing on my life, saving, and what I need to do to get myself in a great position? So as you being the only empty nester in the room, what other nuggets, advice do you have to share with fellow empty nesters or people who are like, light is at the end of the tunnel? They know that it's coming. They're going to get there.
I got nothing. I mean, we've talked. You know, listen, all I can tell you is that when the kids come back home, because they will come back home, you just have to remember that it's not okay to walk around the house naked.
Oh, God.
Great advice.
Indeed.
Oh, goodness.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's the closing bell. You've made it to the end of yet another episode of the Bullcast Podcast. If you liked what you heard and you'd like to hear more, please feel free to go to your favorite subscription service and sign up to have our podcast deemed directly to your device every single Thursday at noon. If you'd like to find out more about me, Katie, Cam, or Nicole, feel free to go to our website. That is bullcastpodcast.com. We've got our bios up there. You can also leave a comment on our website or suggest a topic you'd like to hear us talk more about. If you like pictures, we've got pictures on Instagram. Our Instagram handle is at bullcastpodcast, and we also have an X handle. That is at bullcastpodcast as well. And we have a Facebook page. That is Bullcast the Podcast. And finally, ladies and gentlemen, we have talked often and a lot about where we work. We work at a place called Pickler Wealth Advisors. And if you would like to find out more about what we do at Pickler Wealth Advisors, find out more about what we can do for you, find out about our amazing team and our boss, David Pickler, please feel free to go to that website. That is picklerwealthadvisors.com.
That's advisors with an O.
Not an E.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have given you everything you need to go forth and be merry without children. So for now, I'm Court.
I'm Katie.
I'm Cam.
And we're done.